Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you this morning. My voice is a little ragged this morning. I've been out in the wind all week on the tractors getting ready to do some farm work, and so you'll have to bear with me a little bit this morning. We're going to talk about the basics of salvation today, and for those of you who are already saved, that is a wonderful thing, and I'm sure if you are saved, you know who you are, you know that you are. For those of you who are not saved, you might have questions, and some of you have maybe been going to church your whole life. You maybe have been doing good deeds your whole life. You may have been a good person and done good works in your eyes and been a man of woman of righteousness in your own eyes, and yet you may still have questions about whether or not you're saved. And so I'm giving this message today so that you will know, that you will be certain, that you will not have any more questions about whether you are saved, that you will know beyond a certainty if today the Lord chooses to take you home, if this is your last day here on this earth, that you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt whether or not you are going to spend eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus, or if you're going to spend eternity with the devil in hell. And I pray that none of you out there listening today, that that would be your fate. I pray that each and every one of you would take the steps necessary, if you're not saved, that you would take the steps necessary to ensure your salvation. And you can do that today. And I'm going to give everybody an opportunity at the end of this message to make a decision, to take those steps necessary to assure your salvation. And so you want to stay tuned clear to the end of this message and just listen to everything that I have to say. Just listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, and you will leave today knowing for sure if you are saved, or knowing for sure if you are in that doubtful and that uncertain area. Well, according to Barna Research, I just read this week on the internet, according to Barna Research Group, 80% of people in America believe in heaven, and we have some movies, as you know, God's Not Dead, and Heaven is for Real, and the Jesus film, The Man of God, was just here a couple of months ago, and so we have some movies that are really stirring up people's curiosity in eternal things, in eternal salvation, and people's curiosity in spiritual matters. And so many people are being pierced to the heart. Many people are being pricked by these movies. Even many unbelievers are going to these movies. Even the movie Noah pricked some curiosity, even as far away from the scripture as it was. I'm sure it stirred up some curiosity, and it caused some people to go to the Bible and read the true account of Noah. And so according to the Barna Group, there's still 8 in 10 people in America that believe in heaven. They believe in the afterlife, they believe in heaven, and for many of them, they believe that they are saved. According to the Barna Research, 43% of Americans believe they're going to heaven because they have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so for those 43%, I hope you're one of them. Those 43% have it right. They have a proper understanding of their relationship with their Creator God, Jehovah God, and they have a proper understanding of their relationship with Jesus Christ, God's Son, who went to the cross and shed His blood, died on the cross, shed His blood, that we might know Him for all eternity, that our sins would be covered, that our sins would be paid for or ransomed. And so 43% of America put themselves in that category, which is the proper one, that they are going to heaven because they have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, another 15% believe they're going to heaven because of their good works, or in other words, they think they've done enough good works that they merit a reward of heaven for their good works. And I hate to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you are in that category, if you believe that you have done enough good works, that you've gone to church enough, or you've baked enough pies for the fellowship dinners, or you've even maybe gone on a mission trip or two or whatever, that you have a works-based religion, that you think that you're going to get rewarded for heaven because of the good works that you've done, I hate to disappoint you, but you better listen carefully for the rest of this message, and you'll find out that your good works aren't going to get you into heaven. You'll find out that your good works aren't good enough, no matter how great they are, no matter how good your motives were, that your good works aren't good enough to get you into heaven. Well, another 15% believe they're going to heaven simply because they're a good person and not in relationship to any good works that they've done. They believe simply because they've tried to live by the Ten Commandments, they've tried to be obedient to what they know to be a good person, that is one is going to punch their ticket into heaven, that they're actually going to have to stand before Jesus, and they say, Jesus, I'm a good person. I've done the best I could to be a good person. I haven't sworn or profaned your name, and I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't taken any man's wife and committed adultery. I haven't coveted other people's property or their cars or whatever. And so those 15% believe that they too are going to go to heaven because of the good works, because of the fact that they have been obedient to the Ten Commandments, and they are basically a good person. Well, there's another 6% that believe that they're going to get there because God loves all people, and He would not allow anyone to perish. He would not punish anyone and allow them to perish. In other words, they don't believe in the concept of hell. They don't believe that hell is a real place, and therefore they don't believe that God would send anybody to hell, that He would punish anybody by sending them to hell. And so therefore they believe they're going to get into heaven. That 6% believes they're going to get into heaven simply because they believe in the goodness of God and the blessing of God upon their life. Well, I hate to tell that 6% also that they are mistaken, that God is a good God. He is everything that they think about Him. He is a good God. He is a loving God, slow to punish us. He is a God that is full of loving kindness and faithful to His word. But because He is faithful to His word, He is also going to punish those who don't choose Him and don't choose His Son, Jesus Christ. That He will punish those, and He will let those who deny Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, He will let those be punished for all eternity. He will let them choose their eternal destiny because God is very clear in His word. He is faithful and true to His word, and He is very clear to His word that those who don't confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are not saved, and therefore they will not make it into heaven. And so therefore they have chosen, by their denial of Jesus Christ, they have chosen their eternal abode, and it is not heaven. It is a place made for the devil and his angels, the fallen angels, and it is a place of eternal torment, of gnashing of teeth, of eternal darkness, of eventually the lake of fire. And so that place is the place where they choose by denying Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So, how do we know who is right and who is wrong in this debate? And how do we know that we have certainty when it comes to issues of eternal life? Well, we have to turn to the Scripture, because God has revealed in His Word the answers to all of these issues. God has revealed in His Word about His Son Jesus Christ, why Jesus came to this earth, and God has revealed in His Word so that we know without a doubt, without any shadow of a doubt, when we are saved, when we are not, when we can believe who God is and who He says He is. And so all of these issues, all of these questions, all of this doubt and uncertainty is cleared up when we look in God's Word and we study His Word, and we take into our heart that which His Word says, and we believe what God's Word says about who He is and about His eternal plan for our life. Well, first of all, I want to make this declaration. Jesus is the one who saves. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Me. And so Jesus made an exclusive claim He said, "No one comes to the Father but through me. There's no other way to get to your Creator. There's no other way to be reconciled back to your Creator. And so it has to go through Jesus Christ. That's the reason Jesus went to the cross. That's the reason Jesus shed his blood. That's the reason God sent his only begotten Son." And so that takes us to a scripture in John 3:16. And if you have your Bible there, open it up. I'm sure many of you know the scripture by heart, but we're going to look at it and read it and see what it says. John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so we're not sent to heaven just because we believe God is a good God and that hell is not a real place. It says that whoever believeth in him, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so God loved us. He sent his Son, his only begotten Son, hung on that cross for us. And it says, when we believe in that only begotten Son, then we will not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:17. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And so God didn't send his Son for condemnation. The world was already condemned before Jesus got here. The world in its fallen state, in its darkened state, separated from God, our iniquities and our sins separated from God, that world in the darkened state was already condemned. And that's why Jesus came, was to remove that condemnation off of us. 3:17 again, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And John 3:18, "He who believes in him," he who believes in Jesus, "is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Again, he who believes in Jesus is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so if you believe in Jesus Christ, that condemnation has been removed off of you. If you do not believe, you are still condemned. It doesn't matter how many good works you do. It doesn't matter what a good person you are. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son, that he went to the cross, that he shed his blood for you, then you are still in condemnation, and you are not set aside. You are not set for eternal life in heaven with Father God and Jesus Christ, his Son. Verse 20, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light," or hates the light of Jesus, you could say, "and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Okay. Verse 21, "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." And so it tells us that when Jesus shows up, or when we get the knowledge of Jesus, and we get the knowledge through the Holy Spirit, the conviction by the Holy Spirit of our sin, then we start to understand the purpose for Jesus Christ. When we get a conviction and a knowledge of sin in our life, then we start to understand that our sin has separated us from our Creator God. It has separated us from the Father. And because of that separation, we can't be reconciled back to God except through the payment of the blood of Jesus Christ, except for the payment, the propitiation or payment for our sins that Jesus Christ brings to the world and brought to the world by hanging and dying on the cross. And so when we get that knowledge, when we get that conviction in our life that sin is what separates from God, and that we are sinners, and that I am a sinner, you are a sinner, every person on the face of the earth is a sinner. And when you start to understand it, and you start to acknowledge that in your own life, and you start to be convicted by your own sin, then you are recognition that you are dead and you are condemned, and that you are dead. You are not walking in the light. You're walking in the death of your sins, and that you will not then reap the benefit or reap the eternal life with God the Father and Jesus in heaven for all eternity. Romans 3:23 tells us this, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And verse 24, "being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ." And so we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, but we have to come to a recognition and acknowledgement of the fact that we are all trapped in our sin and that we are destined for not just death here on this earth, not just physical death of this life, but we are condemned to eternal death in hell for all eternity if we do not come to the light and let our sin be exposed. Romans 6:23 talks about that death. "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so there's wages for sin, and not just wages here on this earth. When you break the law here on this earth, you have to pay a penalty. You get arrested or you get put in jail or in prison or you have to pay a fine. Well, that's great here on this earth. That takes care of the penalty here in terms of man's relationship to man. But that doesn't take care of the penalty of our sin in relationship to our Creator. It doesn't take care of the penalty of sin. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so as we come to an acknowledgement of our sin and we understand that the wages of our sin has to be paid for, the wages of sin is death, then we start to understand that we need to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so you must confess if you believe in his name. You must confess. And that's the second part of this message, is that in Romans 10:9 it talks about your confession. Romans 10:9, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him, whoever believes in Jesus, will not be put to shame. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord," or whoever calls upon the name of Jesus, "shall be saved." And so as your heart believes, as your heart is pierced, and your heart is convicted by the Holy Spirit through hearing some preaching or just looking at God's creation and understanding there is a Creator God who wants us to acknowledge him, as your heart believes, tells us in verse 10 of Romans 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one confesses, leading to salvation," or unto salvation. So first you have to believe in your heart, and then you confess with your mouth, "I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord. I believe he is my Savior. I believe that the blood that he shed for me sets me free from condemnation. I believe that the blood that he shed for me leads me to the light, and my sins are exposed. And therefore, when I confess Jesus' name," when you confess Jesus' name, "then you are led into righteousness," or right standing before God, and you are then saved before God for all eternity. And you are saved by grace. You are saved by the grace of God. Ephesians 2:8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." And so there's nothing you can do outside of confessing. You can't work your way to heaven. There isn't enough works that you can do to merit your entry into heaven. For by grace, it's the grace of God that saves us, but we have to confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. It's the grace of God that allows us to claim that eternal gift, that free gift of God. It is his grace, and not by our own works. Paul makes that clear in Ephesians 2:8. "It is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God," in verse 9, "not of works, lest anyone should boast." And so you can't boast about what you've done. You can't boast about how what you've done has led you to eternal life. As I reported those statistics back at the first of this message, 43% believe that they're going to heaven because they have confessed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I want to quote from Michael Bloomberg, the former New York mayor, and he was pointing to his works, and he says, I'm telling you, if there is a God, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to stop to be interviewed. I'm heading straight in. I have earned my place in heaven. It's not even close, he says. And he was referring to all his good works in leading people away from smoking cessation, and pointing to his good works on gun safety issues and to his good works on obesity issues. You can't buy a pop or a soda in New York City now over 16 ounces or whatever. So there are people like Michael Bloomberg who believe that they've done some good works here on this earth. And I just want you to know, brother and sister, if you're in that category, if you are in that camp, I urge you today to not boast about your good works, to not boast about what you've done, or you're a good person and pat yourself on the shoulder or on the back because you think you're a good person. I urge you today, let the Holy Spirit convict you of your sin and repent of it and turn from your wicked ways and confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and accept the payment, the blood payment, the blood sacrifice of Jesus' payment on the cross, that through that payment, through that propitiation of your sin and my sin, and the sins for people all over this earth, in every tribe, every tongue, every nation, that propitiation, that payment for that sin, is what allows you to claim that free gift of God, that free gift that allows you to spend eternity with God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit in heaven. Well, if you need to make a decision today to accept Jesus, I pray that you do that right now. I pray that you just get down on your knees, do business with God, and say, Father, I have sinned. I have sinned. I am a dreadful sinner. There's no way that I can escape my sins except through the blood of Jesus Christ. I repent to you, Father. I repent of my sins, and I ask you, Jesus Christ, to come in and save me. I ask you to save me, to set me aside, to sanctify me, to preserve me as my Savior for all eternity, that I may know that place called heaven, that I may know Jesus, you as my Savior, and you, Jehovah God, as my Father for all eternity. Well, I pray that you pray that prayer today, that you get down on your knees, do business with God, accept Jesus as your Lord, turn to Him, and acknowledge Him, and you will have no doubt and no uncertainty about your eternal destiny. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Have a great week. Tune in again next week.